John chapter 17, verse 24. We just want to look one place here. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Saints, we just ask you be prayer for us as we seek to share God's word. And always, again, themes are not just for theological exercise, but they seek to have a means of preparation and process, something that be attached to the word or the scriptures that God gave to us. Keep this in mind, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That might not resonate with some of us or someone today or right now, because wherever we are at in life or whatever life has us, that might not be the side you're on in terms of life experience. There's a spectrum of things, a spectrum that kind of speaks toward where folks or someone might have their minds or how they view their life experience. There's certain terms we use. Some are cliches, you know, they just things we say, but some of them also speak about where and how I view my existence or my worldview about how things are. On one hand, someone might say, it can't get no better than this. What they mean basically is some things have come their way and things have improved to the degree that at that moment I can't conceive of it, you know, anything being better than this. There's some kind of scenario. It doesn't have to be something great. Depends relatively about where you're at, what it means to you. But then on the other side, the other spectrum of things, you have the complete antithesis. I mean, on the other side, completely on the opposite, this phrase. Again, it can't get any worse. So on one hand, you have both things. Both of them seem can be extreme. Someone might say, you can get something in the middle, but they are the reality. You know, one, it can't get any worse, or it can't get any better than this. Amen. I know which one you would like to be on, but all the time you don't have the choice. You understand? You don't always have the choice. Right now, we are over here, and we had a little bit of snow. Ain't that right? We had a little bit of snow. There was a whole bunch, you know. I don't know. They just like the word storm for some reason. Everything. Amen. Get two inches of snow. It's a storm. Amen. And sometimes people react to what the words are. Now, sometimes there's reality, but sometimes there's a storm. It closed down. Don't come to church. Buy out everything from the supermarket, amen. And by the time you get home, it's sunshine, amen. But then, saints, saying that, you know, we had a couple of inches, but then there's on the other side of our country.
Yes, sir.
The other side of our country. Sometimes as if we're divorced from, there's other people with other problems. Because there's some people over in California are saying it can't get any worse. There was this scene, and that's not fair to what I'm speaking about. They had this video, and I don't know how that, and I'm still thinking about it, how this was captured, but it was real. A woman in a car, and she's driving this car, and you know all of these fires, and they set records in there, but this woman in this car, and she's driving through the fire, and some kind of way she has a video. Yes, a video. They're videoing this, but see, this is not a movie. And as they're videoing this, she keeps saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She's just saying over and over again. Now, and that wasn't the time for me to gauge whether she knew God. Right. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? She knew God. And the part about it was that while this is being shown, the newscaster is watching this, and she's having just finished talk to the woman who went through this. So you have the woman in real time, you see a video, and if you were in the car, you would be saying, oh my God, with her. Are you with me here? But she they're talking to the woman who was in the car. Now she's standing there after it's all over with now. You understand what I'm saying? And she's talking to her. And then the Lord said, leave that other part alone. But she's talking to her. And so I'm just looking at this. And for her, number one, for her, it couldn't be any worse. But something else struck me, because as she's going through, she hits a tunnel. She hits a tunnel, so when she hits the tunnel, the fire goes off the screen. So she's still driving. And so for me, I'm looking through her video, and I say, oh, wow, she's all right now. Then no, she reaches the end of the tunnel, and the fire comes back out just as fiery as it was before she went into the tunnel. And I said to myself, you know what, Lord? Somebody might say insensitively, maybe not having viewed that, you know, because sometimes we use this phrase for people, like, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You ain't going to tell that to her right then. Because you know what? You would have said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel to her, and she would have said, the light I see is burning the tunnel down. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, it could be, she said, it can't be any worse than this. And that's how sometimes life gets. But let me say this to you, and be of a means of encouragement, that the best is yet to come. And that relates to where you stand in relationship to God and to Christ. Are y'all with me here? Yes, because as believers, our sister shared, you know, we as Christians, we are not exempt. We are not exempt from some of the worst things in life. Are you with me here? But that's where there's a demarcation between us and those who don't know the Lord. Why? Because Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he speaks about this, said there's such things we experience that are common to man. That's right. That because we're saved, there's something that happened with us to some degree that life presents, see, that we are not exempt from. Because we are in this world, there's something that we go through that the unbeliever goes through. The difference is, however, is for our worldview, how we look at things. And number two, amen, God provides a way of escape. But the Lord Jesus, when he was praying here, he was praying, and for him, there was up ahead, there was something similar to that in this, that he was about to experience the worst that anyone could have ever experienced. Y'all ain't following me here. Right now, when he's praying here, Christ, both things are in view here. He is praying as he's about to face and come into the worst of the worst, the worst thing that ever happened to a person. He's about to experience it right here, right, is right in front of him. But at the same token, as he prays, he's praying about the best thing that could ever happen to any person. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, y'all think you know the whole story already, and maybe you do, but see, that's the thing about the scriptures here, that when you go back into the God's word, and when you go back into things like this, he has a way of reminding us again that it's not over. Amen. Are you with me here? It's not over. And so as Jesus is praying here in John 17, and what I notice too here is that as he prays, saints, as he prayed, why? The prayer, excuse expression, as it relates to us, gets better and better. Y'all don't hear me. Yeah, see, he knows what's ahead for him. He's talking to the Father, he's letting the Father, as he talks to the Father, he knows that he's going to leave this world, that he knows darkness is up ahead, crucifixion is up ahead, but glory time is up ahead. And, He knows that. He knows that's a thing. Sure enough. But as he prays those whom he's praying for at that moment, and for us who are included, we don't know the degree in which the best is yet to come. As a matter of fact, I dare say right now that some of us might not even know that, even though God even gives us a glimpse. But Jesus right now is praying. He's praying for the disciples, and he's praying for us. And since that won't take me long, but I'll stay here as long as the Spirit of God will allow, as I watch this and I look at this, the Lord Jesus, as he prays, he prays, and he said, first he prayed to the Father that I gave them the word that you gave to me. And when I thought about that again, it wasn't just talk about the scriptures, y'all. It wasn't just talk about the scriptures. That word is not the same word as the word used for scripture. It's literally a personal word that the Father gave the Son, and the Son brought down here with him for those that the Father has chosen. So even not only did they have the written word, but they also had a personal word from God the Father that the Father gave and spoke to the Son, and the Son brought a rhema word down to give to the disciples. Everybody else got the written word as they listened to Jesus preach, but these disciples, they got a word from the Father. And he said, Father, I brought that word in your name. That means, again, it was by authoritatively and absolute that what I gave them, Father, it came from you. A personal word for the disciples. And then he also prayed that the Father would keep them from the evil. Keep them from the evil one. You remember that prayer? Again, we mentioned that last time when he was praying, and the disciples asked him, teach us to pray. And part of the prayer was what? When he prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Whatever all that meant, saying that the Lord Jesus Christ, they asked him about that. But here, Jesus is praying that himself. The other ones, when he taught them to pray. But right now, Christ is praying. And he's praying to the Father, Father, keep them from the evil. That, again, which will try to kill them, overshadow them. Father, I ask that you, by your providence, keep your hand on them. Then he prays again. That the Father would sanctify them through the truth of God's word. Y'all with me here? I'm glad that he prayed for me. I know, amen, y'all got the little song you sing. Somebody prayed for me. Well, Jesus prayed for me. Amen. And then, so he said that he also prayed that they might be one, Father, as thou art one. And that they might also be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. We are the ones should show the world what oneness is. Are y'all with me here? See, it's a difference between unity and uniformity. See, uniformity is you try to put people in line and everybody's supposed to be a photocopy of everybody else. You have regimes that are in the world, and they will kill people if you don't come up to what, amen, do these fundamentalist kind of, and I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about some of these tyranny countries, that you don't do what they say, if you don't be what they are, these socialism and all these kind of things, they will take your life. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about unity. That means, Father, we are one, and I want those who belong to us to reflect that in the world, so the world will see a model of what it means to love one another. We need more of that in this country. The last thing this country needs is some splintering among believers. That's the last thing they need. They need to see folk who love one another and they are different. That's right, different. Amen. Skin tone should not be the issue. Economic status should not be the issue. That should not be the issue at all. We are the ones who reflect the epitome of unity, oneness, and love. We, the church, should be the one. And so the Lord Jesus prayed about their unity. And then he says in verse 22, he says, Father, listen, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And here's how he explains it to us. It's not easy to, when you're dealing with this, it's not easy to explain this relationship, this union that they share. But he says it like this, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Look at this again. He gives us to see how they are and how we should reflect them. But then he prays, and I'll leave you alone. He says, Father, he got one more thing. He got really something he's going to add. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, I had to go slow here, saints, because as I'm reading again, I keep in mind that I am reading and rehearsing to myself and to you what Jesus prayed. And what he prayed, why? What he prayed is what he wanted to pray. Amen. In other words, there is nothing about us that compels. Yeah, wait, no, let me back up. There is nothing that we've done that made him have to pray this, but there is something concerning us that compelled him to pray this. And know what that is? That he has chosen to love us. Amen. That's not all. Watch this here. He said, Father, I will that they also. Now watch it now. The word also is key. Also means along with. Yeah. Y'all ain't following me here. Yeah. Also, that means again that Jesus said this. In other words, if it was me, if I was standing there and he had prayed up to that point, I would say, man, that's the best I can get. Oh, y'all ain't hearing. In other words, look at what he prayed, y'all. Now, maybe, wait a minute. Maybe this could be, not y'all, but sometimes saints, we our value basis, even as Christians, is so low in terms of the standard that the things that God has not done yet seems to be something that we're pursuing when we don't look at what's best, the best that's yet to come. If I discover what's waiting for me, and it'll change my prayer life. I'll stop thinking that God has not done the best good that he could. If I look at the Bible and the scripture and discover what Jesus prayed and what he's saying that's in the future, then it'll change how I pray. Not necessarily the quantitative, you don't have to pray for an hour to get in touch with God. But it's not just how long you pray, it's the quality of what you pray. And the value of your prayers is based on how well you know God personally. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. That's why if you know someone loves me, you won't ask of them as if they had nothing, never done anything for you. You don't base it on your own materialistic or some kind of a way in which you have a basis for how you judge people's love. But if you know what it is, you will not be so apt to act or say or think that someone has devalued you because you don't get what you want.